gentlemen, let's go up and knock on David Oates' door. David? David?
Stay
are
away.
You home?
Stay away. I'm sick. Go away.
Oh, geez, I flew all this way? That's abusive.
Hey, Jeff, how are you, mate? Good to talk to you again.
Well, I know it's good to talk to you. Thank you. But my God, you've been through, excuse me, friends, a shitstorm of an encounter with COVID. This is awful.
I got it pretty bad. I've still got it in the background. You know, you can hear
it. Oh, it's got you. I can hear it. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's still got me. But I didn't want to cancel another show. I thought, no, I've canceled a couple already. I've got a.
I know there were at least four suicides I heard about, so it's good of you to come back.
Suicides? Oh.
Yeah. You're loyal fans. Come on. They don't want you to be sick.
Oh, I see. Oh, right. Okay. Oh, well, thank you for loyal fans. I am alive, and I am well, and I am on the mend, slowly but surely. So, you know, I get to about lunchtime nowadays, and then I start to decline. So
because Eric and I have covered this for 4 years now, give us your profile, your symptomology. What is it that's most noticeable that is bothering you? Pains, aches, fatigue, no energy, heart. I hope to God you don't have any pains in your chest or anything.
No, the
virus. See, it's not as nearly as bad as the injected bioweapon, but go ahead.
Right, yeah, I got the virus. Yeah, I'm not vaccinated, and I don't intend to get vaccinated either.
No.
Hopefully I've got some antibodies now. Look, the first 2 days were the worst. Oh, it was horrible. I felt like my head was going to explode, and I was hot and cold chills all over. I couldn't get out of bed.
I've heard this many times. The head feels like it's just going to go boom. It's just awful.
Horrible. I was popping.
That's
paracetamol.
Inflammation, David. That's what it is.
Oh, is that what it is? Oh,
sure.
Okay.
That's a spike protein. You got spiked from the virus, and it causes a terrible inflammation.
And it was very not nice. So I have a renewed understanding and sympathy for those who have gotten COVID. So that lasted 2 or 3 days, the shocking head. Then I sort of started to come good. I never lost my taste, which some people do, and I never had heart or palpitations or problems like that. I was running a fever off and on, you know, and feeling.
Dear friends, the saddest part, and the first thing I said to David, I said, ivermectin. And he can't get it in Australia. Those bastards will not allow their own people to have access to ivermectin. Arguably the safest pharmaceutical product ever in history. Arguably. Billions of doses. No problems. And they won't allow it. So I mean, I could have tried to send it to David, but
if people get caught,
it ain't good. So
I wouldn't have let you do that. I'm not willing to take that risk. But that's all right. Look, I'm getting through it. Really, really what I got left over is just a really bad cough. And
that's the COVID cough. I know it. Yes.
That can last for weeks, I've been told. So, you know.
And the problem is, now you were taking Allicin C. Now, Allicin C will help. This is a biological weapon. It's not a normal viral or bacterial. This is a viral implement. You can't disassemble it as easily as you could if it were a normal influenza virus or a normal bacterial cold or cough or bronchitis. Allicin C is a miraculous product, but I don't know how much it did for you. I know it did some good for you. But this is a biological creation out of a lab. Now, it's a subvariant. It's not the original. The original is long gone. But this is the current status of the COVID virus. Did the Allicin help at all? It must have. It would prevent a secondary bacterial infection for sure.
It seemed to. It didn't touch the cough at all. But it's hard to tell. I mean, what is you getting better and what does the Allicin C, you know, it's a bit
Right, of course.
Bit difficult to work out which is which.
Right.
But,
Well, this is really a bad one, and it's not good. And did anyone else, do you know where you got it? Anybody else get sick?
Oh, yeah, my daughter brought it home from work. Yeah, my daughter brought it home.
Oh, I guessed that. I didn't want to say it, but yeah.
Yeah, she got it at work. She only had it very minor. She was only had it for like
Why
four
is
or five
it worse on men, David? It is. I'm telling you. It's often worse on men.
Yeah, well, I'm into my fourth week of it, and I've still got another week or two, I'm pretty convinced, before it completely goes away.
Right.
But, would you believe, I have continued writing. And I've been writing my books, so I'm well into my most anticipated book everyone's waiting for, my metaphor book, all about reverse speech metaphors. I've had two books released while I was sick, More Great Spiritual Darkness and The Lessons of Love. They're both available up on Amazon.
So go to Amazon and look up David Oates, and all the books will be there. Are you still giving them away free?
Oh, no, I'm not anymore. No.
Good. You need to get some compensation for this.
Yeah, I know.
I did for a little while,
but... sanity prevailed in the end, so I took them all off my site, and they're all on Amazon. So
good.
I sell a few copies. You know, I got a
people,
steady
well, you know,
steady sales.
People don't read anymore for the most part. They look, and they're good for about a 4-minute video or a 30-second TikTok, whatever. That's not your audience necessarily, of course, but the rank and file just don't read anymore. They like to push buttons on those little things in their hand. They just push buttons.
Sad.
Sickening.
It's sad. It's sad, actually.
Well, it's tragic. It is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
You're watching a culture, a species, literally being turned away from what would normally be an evolutionary process to a higher standard of being on this planet. And I think there actually is a reason to think that a lot of people are going the other direction now. They're going backwards. And I don't think it's a coincidence. I think this thing is being taken down.
Yeah. I do believe you are right.
I don't like to be right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you watch from over there, and you might as well have been a bona fide American citizen. You were here long enough. You know the people here.
Oh, yeah.
You contributed hugely to the good in the society.
Yeah.
So what are you seeing now, David? When you look over here, what do you see? You see Biden obviously illegally installed in the White House. You see Trump lying and still bragging about his warp speed vax program, that bastard. How many people has he killed? You got to start thinking about it. That's a serious statement, too. Anyhow, he just goes on and on. This is we don't have a viable political system here anymore. Do you see it?
Yeah.
You must.
Yes, I do see it. It's not viable. I mean, the two candidates you've got, Biden and Trump, I mean, Trump's in his almost 80. Biden's in his 80s. I mean, it's Robert.
Did you get a chance? I don't know if we talked about this. Did you get a chance to see even a minute or two of the State of the Union address by Biden? Even Trump said.
Oh, yeah, I watched a whole lot. Did I not play?
Yeah, that's right. We did talk about that. I beg your pardon. I remember now. But Trump said just last week, the obvious, Biden was higher than a kite during that speech.
Yes, it was.
He was shot up with rocket fuel. I don't know how they did it.
Yeah.
But it's all fraud, all of it. Fraud.
Yeah, he's on some heavy drug. Yeah, I know it is. Look, the whole system's fraudulent. It's just, I just don't know how America's gotten this way. Look, I don't want to sort of say my country's good, because we're not. But at least our political system's stable, and they don't half kill each other. And anyway, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
So, We've had a. You know, we don't have guns in Australia; they'll be banned.
Well, you're the ultimate ready-made textbook example as to what happens to a people when they're disarmed.
Yeah. Well, and you know what they're doing now? Don't know whether you followed the news, but we've had knife attacks. We had one on the
weekend.
Yeah,
I saw that.
Six people killed, and then another one the day later. A bishop giving a priest was
the bishop killed? Did he die?
No, he did not die. No.
Okay, I didn't think so. Yeah. No. So six others did, though, and these are probably all Muslims that are doing the knifings, right?
I don't think they were, actually. I think they've been radicalized. I think they
Aussies?
Were like, yeah, I think they were Aussies. I'm pretty sure they were. Yeah.
Interesting.
They're saying the second one was radicalized and it was a terrorist attack. They're saying the first one wasn't. It was just someone, a schizophrenia guy. So
yeah,
Australia's
more and more
Australia's
mental
gone.
Illness out there for sure. So
yeah,
nothing surprises.
Yeah, it's sad. It really is. I'm going to come back there next year. I put it in my diary for next year sometime, April
or
May.
Job. All right.
Want to come back and see you and all my friends. And
yeah, that'll be fun. Well,
got quite a few people I want to see.
Good. Very good.
So, I'm planning to come back next year.
Excellent. So, all right.
Yeah, all right. So I don't have any new rehearsals for you, Jeff, because I haven't been able to do them. So,
that's all right. No. Yeah. Anything you want to go back and revisit? You know, people don't.
Yeah,
it's
I'm
not
just,
their
I'm
fault.
Just,
they don't remember. The average person just doesn't remember, and it's at least a 50% loss of memory overnight, and at the end of 5 days, it's something above 95% that you just don't remember. It's it's very high, and this is going back 25 years. So what it is now, I don't know. You dive into this, not you. People dive into their phones, and they just don't. They just push the other stuff aside. Whatever they think they've learned is not important as that phone. They mess with that phone.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. We certainly live in a different society than when I grew up. I tell you.
You can have this one. We got to see things when they were the best. We got to see.
Yeah, we really did. I think we lived in the best generation. I really do. The 60s, mate.
Yeah, 100% agree.
Flower child. I loved it. I used to go out on the streets as a Jesus person and hand out flowers and stuff like that. So
good job.
We all did that in those days. Yeah, it was a lot of fun, actually. Yeah, I worked in a Christian coffee shop in one of the worst parts of town. And, you know, we had pub up one end and pub down the other end and bikies touring up and down the street and drug addicts lying in street corners and me and my mates, you know, well, I was only 17, 18 then, you know, so I was a young kid. Uh-huh. Me and my mates used to walk the streets and talk to the bikies and so we'd find someone on drugs and bring them back, sober them up. You know, it was a fun time. You were doing good work.
That counts. That's good.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was a fun time. I look back on those days in my teenage years, and I don't regret any of it. I totally thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a whole lot of fun, you know. And then of course, we had the alternate Christian community, you know, where everyone practiced common purse, which meant they all shared their money, pooled their resources, and that was a whole lot of fun too. Until the man to the leader was killed in a car accident, the whole thing fell apart, which was means there must have been something wrong with it to start off with for that to destroy it, you know, but it did. So that was very sad. Anyway, that's okay. So I got into insurance, for those who don't know. That was my, after my Jesus days, I became an insurance agent for, about 4 years. So and then I left that and went to America to live and drop the tape player in the toilet bowl, and it's back in 83 that was. I moved to America. So.
Was that the first time you came here in 83?
Yeah. I lived in America twice for 2 years, 83 and 84.
I see.
And then went back home, and then I lived there again from 89 to 99. Which is, of course, when I met you, you know. And,
yeah.
Used to love driving up to see you. Yeah.
We had some fun. And at 99. Wow.
Yeah.
This program started in 94. And I think you first came on around 96, something like that. If I remember.
Yeah, I think it was 96, if I remember correctly. That sounds about right.
Man, and we... We stepped right in it, and there's all those awful things and weird things, and your house was set on fire, and crazy. Robert, what's his name? I won't even say his name, but just nutty stuff.
Yeah, it was all crazy. Hey, talk about the house fire. For those who haven't heard that reversal, let me play this.
Oh, play that. Yeah, that's a great one.
Cool. I'm going to pull it up.
Set it up a little bit. Now, David's living in a house. Down in, what the hell was it, Oceanside, somewhere around there?
It was actually Bonzel was the name of the place. Bonzel, the suburb Bonzel, which is, near Oceanside. Oceanside's one of the next suburbs over. And, it was a great house. I lived in there and worked in there. I had my practice out of my house. And we had a phone call one day. Said, make sure you're home tomorrow morning. We have a message to deliver to you. And then tomorrow morning, when I was in session with a client, my secretary ran into the office and says, David, the house is on fire. And, of course, we got the recording because I was recording at the time. And someone had thrown a petrol bomb through the side window of our shipping room with all our products in there.
Mm-hmm.
And, the whole house just burned to the ground. Fire department didn't get there for 45 minutes. We investigated this for such a long time, and both of the nearest fire departments had their engines out getting service on the same day at the same time as the house went up. So we didn't get fire department on the scene for almost an hour.
Now, that doesn't sound remotely professional or competent. It doesn't sound like a coincidence. It stinks. No. What are your thoughts now?
Oh, absolutely. The whole thing was set up. We've got, because the tape ran for about 15 minutes before the power went out of the house. Uh-huh. And you can hear people in my office rummaging around the office and opening drawers and filing cabinets.
Oh, I remember this. It's right. Yeah. This was a professional job. Intel, somebody, whoever, they were looking for stuff.
Yeah. And, look, for those who don't know, the FBI threatened me after I worked with them. If we go back to the very beginning, when I first came to America, I was asked to come to Washington, D.C. to give a 4-day workshop, 3-day, 4-day workshop. I can't remember how long it was now. And I lectured to the FBI and the CIA and the Secret Service, and Naval Intelligence. They were all there, and they were all super impressed with the work. All of them said, we're going to start up our own research, and we'll call you in to head up the research. Ha, 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 ha. Was I ever a naive young Aussie? And I worked for the FBI during the Waco siege. They contacted me and asked me to do a personality profile on Koresh based on the reversals. And I did a profile. I said that basically the conclusion was that if you let his mum or grandma in or you all go away, he's going to come out peacefully and there'll be no problems. Of course,
that's
we all know what happened.
That's not what they wanted. No,
that's not what they wanted. Anyway, compound burnt to the ground. And 2 days later, I had a phone call from the FBI, Agent Strentz. I'll never forget the name, Strenz. And he told me in uncertain terms that if I ever go public with reverse speech, they would crush and destroy me. And that was a direct threat.
How long after your presentation lecture to them did that happen?
About 3 years. The presentation was in... Go on.
I can fill the blanks in for everyone, and I'm sure David already knows this, but it's obvious that they took what David presented and put it through their own evaluation processes and came up with the inarguable truth that our reverse speech is real. It poses a national security threat to the nation because it can detect lies from everyone, from the president on down, et cetera, et cetera. And so David was told, you go public with this and you are going to suffer. And boy, have you. And I'll never forget some of those things. I remember driving all the way down. God, where the hell was it? It was not far from maybe the Oceanside area. It was a San Diego venue, and you were doing a big presentation there.
That's right. It was a three-day workshop, if I remember correctly. We had about 50 people there, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was a lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you came down and lectured at it. I remember that.
Yeah, fun stuff. Crazy
stuff.
Yeah,
it was a fun time. But I made the mistake of going public with it, so there you go. Here, let me play this
for you. And just for fun, we're not going to take a break here. Just for fun, though, understand the reason, and a lot of you ask this, why isn't reverse speech used by everybody all over the place? Because it has been suppressed by the government. They don't want it to be used. Now with AI, and I'm not sure how I didn't ask yet, but how is that coming with the AI guy?
I don't think he's done any more work on it. So
did they get to him?
Oh, who knows what happened. I'm going to have to open up my own. I can't get other people to do stuff for me. It never works. I'm going to have to
come back. No, that's for damn sure. I know that. Okay, so you've got all the basics, though, and if any of you out there listening would like to talk to David about how AI can play a dramatic, phenomenal role in advancing reverse speech, keep in mind the government does not want this done, and if you're afraid, if you got a family, you don't want to do it, but somebody with a computer background, AI experience, it's not hard. The way to use it is relatively straightforward. It's not hard at all. Just getting the work done, though. It's reverse speed. That's your vindication, as we've talked about many times. It works. Of course it works. And it scared the hell out of them.
Yeah, it did. It did. Yeah. One of the few things out there that actually works and is genuine, yet it's hardly known at all. Well, it was when I was in America in the 90s, but now it's just dropped into insignificance,
Right.
Which is what the powers that be wanted to have happen anyway. So I firmly believe I was chased out of America.
That guy, I won't mention his name. Of course he was.
He was sentient. Yeah, I know. I know. I was dumb and naive.
I mean, I knew it at the time. I couldn't prove it, but I said, "Geez, this is a ringer. This guy's he's running an agenda here. He's messing things up." And he was very slick. I got to say that.
He was indeed.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's play the reversal on David's house fire. This is very interesting. It's fascinating. You'll like this.
So here's the forge. You'll hear me chatting away to my client, and then my secretary runs into the office.
A set of the class images, a set of what?
Yes?
The house on fire.
What?
The house on fire.
You can hear the emotion in her voice. I'll play it again forwards.
The house on fire.
What?
You play it backwards, he says, the house is on fire, our house is on fire. And again. And of course, I say no, if you can hear me, you know, house on fire. No! Then she repeats that the house is, our house is on fire. And here it is, forwards and backwards. Here's the forwards. And backwards. That's what we call a true mirror image reversal. It says exactly the same thing backwards as forwards. And the reason why it does, well, A, the house was on fire. B, she was in a highly emotive state, obviously communicating the truth. She's totally congruent as to David, get out here. We got a problem here, you know. And because of that intense emotion, it produced a mirror image reversal, which is just fascinating. So, I got lots of mirror image reversals.
She was so intent and so frightened and so... she wanted you to know how dangerous things had gotten instantly. And I guess that's probably the best set of ingredients for a mirror reversal.
Yeah.
When someone is so absolutely 1,000% focused on a crisis in real time, and it just, it comes out both ways. The subconscious starts yelling, warning, and the conscious mind is doing it. That's a classic. That is absolutely a classic.
Yeah, here's a few more mirror image reversals. Here's front forwards.
He did cash the check.
Oh, sorry, forwards. He did cash the check.
He did cash the check.
And backwards, cash the check.
Cash the check.
Cash the check. Obviously, she wanted the check cashed. Here we got another one.
Beautiful health and vitality that sold it, or it's about truly embracing the fact that it's happened and making the best of it.
And where she says the fact that it's happened, she says backwards, the fact that it's happened.
The fact that it's happened.
And again. Here it is, forwards.
In the fact that it's happened.
And backwards.
That is wild. That's really wild. That's amazing.
I mean, I'd like to see the skeptics try and explain mirror image reversals. You know, I was in contact with the great Randy. I was applying for his prize. Three times I applied for it. He knocked me back every time, little bastard. He wouldn't test me. And I think he was scared, actually. But I was talking to his people about mirror image reversals. Mm-hmm. And they said, "Oh, yeah, we can do that. Sure, no worries." So what did he do? I'm trying to think. He did something really, really stupid. It said, "Oh, that's right. It was gibberish forwards and meaning backwards." He mouthed out gibberish to produce the reversal. The house was on fire, and I'm thinking, "No, that's not a mirror image reversal. Say the house on fire. Let's have it hear it backwards." So anyway, they didn't see me. I don't know why.
What a character that guy was. Another one.
Yeah, he's still around?
I don't know.
Yeah. He was getting up there in the 90s when he was doing those tests. So he's got to be up there now.
The amazing Randy. Let me see if he's
great
still
Randy,
here.
The great Randy.
Randy. The great James Randy. Let's see. He died October 20th, 2020.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay.
320s. October 20, 2020.
Oh, Belvey. So no more prize for the great Randy.
No more.
Yeah, let's play you some reversals I've found. The last few weeks, not like the last month or so.
I just wrote it.
On session work. Here's me talking to a client about a book.
The book that I thought was channeled, called The Lessons of Love.
Oh, hang on, we'll go back to the beginning. There we go.
I just wrote a book that I thought was channeled, called The Lessons of Love. It should be out next week.
And backwards it says, we'll sell the book.
We'll sell the book.
You like that?
We'll sell the book.
That's great. Yeah, that's great.
Nice and congruent, that one. Here, let's play it again. Yes. Forwards. Here's the forwards.
Here's
I just wrote a book that I thought was channeled called The Lessons of Love. It should be out next week.
And we'll sell the book.
We'll sell the book. We'll sell the book. We'll sell the book.
Yeah, there we go. And, yeah, that book is selling. It's been on Amazon for a week now. So it's moving.
All right, what are, all right, we have to do a little quick promo here. What are the lessons of love? What are we going to hear? What, what will we learn by reading the book?
Okay, no, I don't want to.
Just yeah, briefly.
It's based on the life of Christ, life and teachings of Christ, okay?
Okay.
But yeah. It takes a completely different approach to it that you will have never seen before. I argue with strong historical facts that, Jesus did exist. I quote letters that be written by Roman governors and all sorts of Roman people that you can document. I say Christianity isn't the only religion that claims a resurrection. Oh boy, did I get killed for that in a Christian group a couple of weeks ago. Oh, they said it was heresy. I said, well, no, it's not heresy, it's just historical fact. You know, here these the Egyptians, I've got it all laid out in the book. There's about six of them, six religions.
None of your critics read the book, of course.
No, of course not. So that's a bit dynamic. I explain hell and where the whole legend of hell came from, and it was actually a place just outside Jerusalem, a valley called Gehenna, spelled G-E-H-E-N-N-A, and that is actually the original wording in the text is Gehenna. Mm-hmm. It's been wrongly translated as hell. And Gehenna was a valley just outside of Jerusalem where they used to burn rubbish with fire and brimstone. It was a rubbish dump. And Jesus used the analogy of Gehenna to say, oh, if you do wrong, this is, you know, it'll be just like you're in Gehenna. And that, and anyway, I spent a whole chapter on that, and I explained
and
how the
stuck.
Whole. Yeah. Yeah.
Fascinating.
And I basically conclude hell does not exist. It's another parable that Jesus taught. I spend a whole chapter on his parables. I basically throw the Old Testament out altogether. I also throw the writings of Paul out altogether. I claim that he was one of the original antichrists who brought false doctrine to the church. So if you're a conservative fundamentalist Christian, don't read my book. It'll make you very, very angry. But if you want to know about the simple teachings of Jesus about love and compassion, well, that's what the book mainly concentrates on. You know, Jesus was here to teach us about God's love, to show us that the God of the Old Testament was not the God of that, the God. And I quote some interesting sources for it all. I quote from the Gnostic Gospels a lot. I've been studying the Gnostic Gospels for 30 years now. Mm-hmm. For those who don't know what the Gnostic Gospels are, they are the other books that never made it to the Bible. And they are the writings of some of the other apostles, Judas, Peter, Mary, Thomas, Philip. The Gospel of Philip.
Mary did some writing on her own, huh?
Yes, she did. And they're all in the Gnostic Gospels. And the reason why they weren't included in the Bible is that they – you have to read them. So the lessons are basically the same, like the Acts of Jesus and healing and parables.
Mm-hmm.
But they take a very spiritual approach to it. Whereas, how can I explain it? So you could almost call some of the teachings New Agey in a way, okay? So they give a totally different perspective, and I love them. I've been studying the Gnostic Gospels for 30 years. I think they're just amazing. So,
sounds like a very unique book. Fascinating.
It's very unique. You will never read anything about Christianity like this. It's
nice.
Yeah, my book editor praised me for it, said, you know, it's very well documented. You obviously know what you're talking about, well researched. I quote references for everything I claim.
Do you feel that this was channeled to you, this book?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I wrote the book in 4 days. That's how much it was channeled. I just sat down one day I've been thinking about it for a year. So when I say I wrote it in 4 days, that was the result of a whole year of thinking and planning in my head. Right. And then just one day I had it right, and I started writing and finished it in 4 days. So it's not a reverse speech book, although I do talk about reverse speech in the book. So it's describes my understanding of Christ, his life, and his teachings. And
well, it sounds like a jewel of a book. This is great. This sounds fascinating.
Oh, it is.
I don't know how the 45 million or so American Christian Zionists would take to it. Those people seem to be really lost. They do scare me, frankly. They just don't get it.
Scare me too. They're
crazy. Okay, well, that's a good book. What about the Dead Sea Scrolls, David? Do they have a role in this whole thing?
Not in the book. No, it's not true. Some of the Gnostic Gospels were discovered when the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered. So, yes, I guess they do play a role in the book. Yes, they do.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I've just got a couple of big books here of, you know, writing all about excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
That was that cough.
I know that cough sound. That's bad.
I'm back again.
No. All right, and the book is called again?
The Lessons of Love. And you will have never read a book about Christianity like this book.
I believe it.
It will give you a totally different perspective on it altogether. Some of the, you know, I didn't tackle the rapture or anything like that. I'm going to do that in a sequel, which I'll write in about a year or so. But for all those who thought they're going to be raptured when the eclipse passed, all the Christians believed we're all going to be raptured and Jesus is going to come again. And I made a post on my page. I said, I predict no one will be raptured and Jesus won't come again, at least during this eclipse.
Understood. Can you let me think here. I'll get back to it in a few minutes. Here it is. Did I send you an old Italian woman with a kind of a thick Italian accent read a translation of the letter that Pontius Pilate wrote to Caesar Tiberius, I think it was, explaining Jesus Christ, his encounters with Jesus Christ, and why he had to crucify him. They only had about a
heard of that.
Oh my God!
I'd love to
they
see
only
that.
Had they only had about a hundred. Pilate only had about 100 Roman soldiers in all of Judea, and Judea, which was overrun with Jews, they hated Christ because he would call them out for their money, this and that, you know the story. And they demanded that he be killed. And it was like a bloodlust. Anyway, this letter explains the whole thing to Caesar.
Oh, please send that to me. Oh, my God.
Oh, I will find it tonight and send it. It's phenomenal. And is it true? It comes from pedigreed organizations to deal with ancient literature and papyrus rolls and all the rest of it. And it is apparently the Romans were like Germans. They documented everything. And there were letters and letters and letters, and it was all documented and over, you know, hundreds of years. Anyhow, this was a very big deal. And Pilate was, you know, trying to say that I didn't want to do this at all. And he explains the two times he met Jesus face to face and explains looking in his face. He said at one point, there's no doubt this was not a normal man. He was the Son of God. He said that.
Wow.
Pontius Pilate, after meeting him face to face.
Wow.
Anyhow, I'll find it and send it to you. It's
oh,
it's
please.
A mind blower.
I didn't know that letter yeah. existed. Wow.
Well,
I
it's
would
the
love
claim.
This.
And it's the pedigree of it is very interesting and very well laid out.
It'll probably make it to my sequel of this book, The Lessons of Love.
Yeah, all right. Well, you will have it. I did run it in the headlines for a couple of days, but I'll find it. I'll send it. I'm sure I probably should repost it because people will want to see it. Now, I'm not a member of any organized Christian church or religious adjunct or anything like that, but I'm telling you, listening to that letter being read by that older lady, was profound.
Yeah.
It's the best word I can come up with. It was remarkable.
I would totally see that.
You'll
Definitely.
Have it. I'll get it to you right after the program here. I'll find it.
Good on you.
Yeah.
All right. Here's another reversal I found on the client this week, last week. I've been seeing clients in the mornings. I can last till about lunchtime, and then
right.
I go down. I'm all right in
right.
the mornings. I can feel myself going downhill now because it's half past one almost.
You'll make it. 9 minutes.
Oh, yeah, of course
you'll
make
it.
I was determined to do the show this week, Jeff.
I know. I appreciate that. I know. I get it. I know how bad this can be. I haven't had it, thank goodness. But it's it just nails people. It just nails them.
Yep. I can't. The only time I can ever remember being this sick was I got the norovirus in England. But that only lasted about 2 or 3 days, and then I was over
Right,
it, you know.
Right, right. Now, This is a biologically constructed virus. They made it. And they used it to frighten everyone to take the shots. Go ahead.
When I was sick with it, it didn't feel like a – I mean, how do you explain a feeling?
It didn't feel like a normal viral infection. I think that's what you're saying.
It felt – excuse me. It felt manufactured. So, yeah.
What an interesting comment. Yeah.
Oh, it did. Yeah. It felt like I could feel it. I'm going, this is a nasty son of a bitch.
Yeah. No, yeah. I think you're, of all people, you'd be the one to sense something like that. And that's exactly what it was, what it is.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep.
And,
yeah, manufactured.
You know, who's behind the whole thing? Moderna. And Stefan Bonsell, the CEO of Moderna, Jewish. Big Al Borla, Jewish, the CEO of Pfizer. Come on, it just you can go right down the list. It's all the same people. It's always the same people causing terrible mischief and it's anyhow. They are getting their long-term planning now. It's beginning to look like they're going to succeed.
Yeah,
which is
well, of course.
To make this the planet Zion.
Of course they'll succeed because no one's trying to stop them. They're all just going like sheep to the slaughter. Oh, okay, we'll take the vax. Oh, you want us to do this?
Yep, we'll do that.
It's just...
You know how many shots they've given worldwide, David? 14
billion.
14 billion, and about 700 million in the U.S.
That's amazing. That's incredible.
So a PSYOP, scare the people, problem, reaction, solution.
I've got clients who got cancer out of the blue who got vaxxed.
Oh, I didn't know. They got shot. If you ask them, I'll bet every one of them got injected.
They all often got shot. And a couple of them were... against the shot, but their family talked them into it. And I go, why? Why would you give in like that? It's just crazy. It meant I couldn't see my dad for 6 months because he's in a nursing home. My parents are both alive, by the way.
That's great.
Dementia.
That really
Mum's
is
got
wonderful.
Dementia, but, but they're both alive as well. Let me play a reversal. Here we go.
Yeah.
Then I'm always going to carry it around with me, regardless, like baggage.
Right.
So if we heal it and it's gone, it's gone. regardless of what happens going forward.
Right.
The wolf likes the battle for survival.
The wolf likes the battle for survival.
You know that? The wolf likes the battle for survival.
Yeah, classic reversal.
The wolf likes the battle for survival.
I found that one last week, I think. Oh, good, I like that one. Yeah, that's the sort of one I like.
It could be. It's the same thing. The last word could be for surviving.
Then I'm always...
Hang on, let's go listen.
The wolf likes the battle for survival.
The wolf likes the battle for survival.
Yeah, for surviving, for survival, it's the same thing. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I can hear both of them. It's a little bit of a strange ending to it.
Yeah, but that's that's. Can you imagine what those Intel people, CIA, NSA, FBI, after you presented this, and this is in the mid '80s, they must have just been mind blown by what was going on. It upset the whole world mechanism that they were using. Lying politicians, lying people, the lie.
Yep.
Wow.
And people wonder why reverse speech died out in the late 90s. I get asked that a lot. I say, I don't know. Go and ask Dick Cheney. He'll tell you why.
Yeah. Well, David was set up and run off the rails intentionally. Wasn't his fault. Yeah. It was a very high level job. And I was right in the middle of it. And I worked for weeks on this, talking to other principals and so forth. And I knew at the time that there was something really wrong with what was going on. That's not you. That's not David Oates. It's like someone, honest to God, almost took control of you. It was weird.
Yeah.
And it's not your fault.
Well, the purpose of it was to overthrow reverse speech. And they did.
That's right. That's right.
I should have had all my warning bells ring me when Stevens first contacted me. But, oh, no, he was NASA. Oh, he's NASA, is he? Oh, maybe I can get reverse speech into NASA, you know.
Mm-hmm. I know.
I'm always motivated by how can I get reverse speech out there more, you know. But nowadays, I just work on word of mouth, Jeff. I don't advertise or promote, you know. No, I've got my columns.
You found your peace with it. You're at peace with your wizardry and your genius discovery, and that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, I really am. Actually, I'm very contented and very happy. I'd like to be a client.
I know.
And if reverse speech ever takes off in a big way again, you know, obviously I'll be very pleased, you know.
It will in time, probably on the wings of AI. Somebody will do it and release it, but... How popular we'll get ultimately, I don't know. Because a lot of people are not going to be around in the future on this planet. Not if the controllers get their way.
Yeah.
They won't. Yeah. When that whole thing was going on, I was on the phone to Art Bell and even Ramona for at least 40 hours. I kind of just clocked it out. It was a lot of negotiating and talking and it was the whole thing was surreal to me. It was just weird. That's all I can tell you. Crazy.
The alternate community, which loves to talk about conspiracy theories, had a real conspiracy theory happening. They're very mixed and they didn't even see it.
It's true. Look at that. You got it. Shake my head. That's exactly right.
It's ironic. These people are all into conspiracy theories, and here's a real one. And, oh, gee, I don't know.
You got it. You got it.
Crazy people. Crazy people. Anyway, so listen, everyone. I'm going to come back to America next year. So if you want me to lecture in your town or wherever you are.
Oh, this is really important. Pay attention. Yes, please. Go ahead, David.
Yeah.
Finish.
The only way I'm going to get lectures is if I get invited. So if you love reverse speech, you have contact to a mailing list or a group of people, then organize a lecture for me for next year. That's when I'm coming back.
And, you know, let's see if we can get reverse speech kicking up and running in America again, you know. So,
even if you are listening and you like reverse speech, you can put David will call. All you have to do is fly him over, put him up,
yep.
pay his meals, and he'll put on a magnificent, unforgettable evening for you. You get 20, 30 people together, whatever. Rent a little room somewhere, or get a. If you have a university nearby, there are always rooms that they'll let people use for guest lectures and things. You can do that. Even a church, doesn't matter. They'll have empty rooms and
that's right.
20, yeah. 30 people, 40, 50 people, and you will never forget it. It is phenomenal. And getting a chance to hear David present it is timeless. So think about that for next year.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. All right. Yeah. All right. You go rest, and we'll talk to you.
And I'll see you next week, and hopefully I'll have some reverses for you next week. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, mate. Okay. See you.
Okay. Bye. Good night. Yeah. Mr. David Oates. Dude, seriously, bring him to your town. You don't have to market it far and wide. You can. But he'll come and put on a phenomenal evening. You'll never forget it. I say it again. Okay, that's our program for you tonight. Glad you're part of it and glad you're here. And we'll be back with you in 21 hours tomorrow night. Talk to you then.